4 points. Come on. Come on, boys. That's it. Watch the fiber. Soften it up. Sports.
This is Sports Sunday.
Jokic has it. Clock ticks. Gonna put one up. Jokic for the win. It's good. Jokic got it off in time.
With Rashawn Taylor and Joe Fisher.
First and goal. Mahomes flings it.
It's there. Hartman. Jackpot. Kansas City.
On the Odyssey app.
Hate me or love me. You watched. That's all you could do.
And 1080.
Who do you think you are?
The Fan.
Good morning. Welcome into Football Sunday right here on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app. Watching us on YouTube and on Twitch for the kids. I am Joe Fisher. Across the faux marble table is Rashawn Taylor.
Gang.
And across the glass, it is Will Orner.
Best looking man on the Fan.
Holy S.
Man.
Definitely not the best looking
man. I don't know, man. I don't know. It's been a while since I've seen you, man. Looking good, bud.
Trying to slim up.
I will say I'm not the best looking man on the Fan.
Not anymore.
Today. No. I shaved my beard.
Joe looks like Charlie Brown.
And I can't do this anymore. I can't go clean shaven.
Well, I was trying to tell you, man, you were saying, oh, I don't want to do that, man. Just go get your beard lined up, man. You don't even have to get a haircut at the barbershop anymore to go if you have a beard. Like, you can go in for just a beard lineup and shampoo and shave and all that type of stuff, man.
I don't have the proper beard qualifications. I don't think my beard is that good. It's just I can grow a somewhat okay beard, but I don't think it qualifies for being lined up.
Why'd you decide to shave it?
It was getting too long. I was getting
It definitely qualifies to be lined up.
You could trim.
I was getting a bunch of crap at Christmas because my dad makes clam chowder every year for Christmas, a quality clam chowder, and it was ending up in my beard, and I was catching crap from the girlfriend and my nieces and nephews and my son. And, you know, when you start catching food in the beard, that's
time to trim it and line it.
Yeah, no, I mean, like,
you went really extreme, Joe.
No,
like,
I hear
gotta
you.
Be honest.
No, trust me, I got to start fresh, you know. I got to take it back to down to the I got to strip it to the foundation, all right? But I've done this before. I don't know what it is, and I just caught myself a couple times in the mirror. Yesterday, we were me and the girlfriend. We were at the Scotch Lodge.
Mm-hmm.
We had a nice little dinner, and then we went over to the Scotch Lodge for a nightcap. And then where we were, like at the bar behind her, was like a mirror. And so when I was looking at her, I could catch myself every once in a while, and I was just like, "No, I don't like this. No, this is not acceptable." And the girlfriend, she even said, "Yeah, you can probably like leave a mustache next time." And I was like, "Golden, I'm in the clear. That yeah. Now I can go forward
so you're
with
gonna
the
be,
mustache.
So you're gonna be just stash guy then,
until it grows." And the beard grows in, and then when it gets to a point where I got to strip it back, then I will shave it and just keep the mustache.
Yeah,
so
I always
going forward, I will always have some sort of facial hair.
I always kind of felt like if you have a mustache, you're kind of trolling. Like, you don't really like the mustache. Like, you're doing it because it kind of looks – it's like the mullet. Like, it looks kind of goofy, but, you know, we're gonna let it slide because it's you, but –
I like the soul patch. The soul patch cracks me up. There's an old video of Rop, back when Rop had the soul patch on YouTube.
Awesome.
It cracks me up every time I see it.
That's awesome.
Rop with the soul patch, and then Swag has maybe the most fluorescent like Hawaiian t-shirt you've ever seen.
Not surprised about that.
Hilarious.
Probably with braided sandals.
Yeah, I think.
I guarantee Swag has multiple Hawaiian themed anything's in his closet.
It swags comes across as a big Tommy Bahama guy.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
And then he's rocking the Achilles ones. You think that's his summer look?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Santos out, everything.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
The soldier of Troy twos.
No, yeah, for sure. For sure. I remember those. I remember when girls, I'm so glad ladies are over wearing those shoes.
Oh,
because,
well, they would wear some of those. They would also do, and I guess they're still kind of big. What are they, the Birkenstocks or like the?
Yeah, but Birks are different than what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about,
It's going to kind of a strap up the leg, low key.
Yeah. Or what's the,
there's a rough tan line there.
The Velcro sandals.
Yep.
You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Where's, take them in the water.
Yeah. Those were big. Those were big in the 90s.
Yeah. Probably right. Water. I can see Swag for sure wearing water socks.
I was going to say water socks. For sure. Yep.
Has a couple pairs of those for, you know, for leisure, for casual.
What was the most 90s facial hair move? I would have to say it's the goatee. Like the one or like the around the
connected.
Yes, connected the connected goatee.
I got a rough goatee photo.
It's, oh boy.
It's really? Like, oh, it's COVID times. So like no one could see me. So I grew up my hair too. And it's, the hair looks patchy. The goatee looks rough. And I let like my beard grow really long. And then I shaved the goatee into it. So it's a really long goatee.
Shout out to the barbers during COVID for being the first ones to kind of, break the whole 6 feet barrier, because people were out there struggling, man. Like it was pretty bad.
Oh, I have a picture of myself somewhere around May. I think I went all the way, cause I was already growing it out at that point. And then we hit, you know, March, and I was like, well, I'm screwed. I'm going to have to, you know, rock this a little bit longer. I just grew the hair out, grew out the facial hair. It got super long. And then I went full buzz, full shave, everything.
That
I
was
went
the
from,
way to go.
I went from as homely and disgusting as possible to tight.
Mm.
Tighten it up.
Yeah, I remember that too. I struggled for a little while, you know, just letting the, and my hair was a little, you know, a little longer than both of you fellas, so it was getting incredibly long at that point. I was like, yeah, I can't do this. I couldn't wait to chop my hair off. So
on the 90s subreddit, they did a poll at one point. They said that the most 90s facial hair choice was the goatee.
Yeah, I can imagine. I'm trying to think of, you know, something else. I mean, I think the I think the mustache was, you know, kind of fading out with the 70s and 80s.
Yeah. The next most voted one was the Flavor Saver / Soul Patch. I have never heard it.
You never heard it called the Flavor Saver?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, right here. Yeah, let me get that.
Who had the best soul? Who's had like the best soul patch ever?
Best soul patch?
Yeah.
Didn't the Limp Bizkit guy have a gross one?
That was a pretty solid soul patch. Yeah. And again, good for the times.
Anthony Kiedis, you know, at a point had Anthony a nice Kiedis. Little soul from Red Hot Chili Peppers at one point had a little soul patch.
What about Flea? Like, what about the bottom, what do they call that, where it's just like the chin hair, like you just have hair at the bottom of the chin? You know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I don't know what they call
know.
It.
Yeah,
though.
I just call it chin hair.
Yeah,
I don't really know if there's a name for that one. I'm sure it is.
Howie Mandel had a soul patch.
Oh, yeah.
That was a solid soul patch. That was a solid soul patch.
Springsteen. Billy Bob Thornton had one.
Oh, Billy Bob's is iconic. Because in the 90s, Billy Bob Thornton was dating Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
Like, that was his work. Like,
that one blows my mind.
Yeah.
Because, like, my knowledge of pop culture starts with her and Brad Pitt, like, being married together.
Yeah.
So, like, Brad Pitt dating Jennifer Aniston and Billy Bob Thornton and Angelina Jolie having each other's blood in, like, a necklace thing.
Necklace, yeah. I remember that.
Freaks me out every single time.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
They loved each other. They were, like, one of those couples that were, like, all over each other, like, in a lot of PDA all the time. Anytime they were...
Well, I do
picture together.
I do remember that video from, I don't know what, like, award show or what it was that Billy Bob and Angelina Jolie show up to, and they're on something. My guess is they're on ecstasy or something like that, and they're just all over each other, and Billy Bob's like, yeah, we did it in the limo on the way here. And she is just, like, looking.
And everybody
and
else
like,
is just
oh,
looking
yeah.
like, how the hell did this dude get this girl?
Well, I know.
How does that work?
In Bad Santa, he's got the moves in Bad Santa with that one bartender.
Yeah. You could tell Billy Bob Thornton,
you know, that
was
real, right?
I would say so. But you could tell he's got a little riz, man, Billy Bob Thornton. I think he'd be okay. And he got Halle.
It's like that Jeff Goldblum riz.
There's a ruse on Jeff Goldblum?
Dude, there was a interview I was seeing recently that he was doing with some red carpet girl, and he was putting the moves on her, and you could see she was getting a little flummoxed. Like,
yeah, that's probably a little weird. Is it old? Or is it
no,
a new...
it's recent.
Oh, my gosh, man. You can't do stuff like that anymore,
what?
Fellas.
You'll get caught.
Like, seriously, like... Come on,
she was reciprocating, though. It was like a tennis match. It was back and forth.
Oh, okay. Well,
they had good banter.
Yeah.
Maybe it was just for the cameras. It's not.
He hit her
awkward.
She's like, "You look fantastic." He's like, "Oh, coming from you, that means a lot."
Yeah, because let's be honest. Jeff, Howie Mandel isn't
you
a good
dog.
Looking dude. You know, let's just be honest with each other. Like, you know, I'm not one to hate on my guys. You know, do your thing, Kings. But Howie Mandel isn't the most attractive guy in the world.
Well,
I could be wrong. Somebody probably likes it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, there's also, as I'm learning, a factor of money that helps.
I've heard that can be a big factor.
As someone who doesn't have a lot of that, I'm learning.
It reminds me of that one meme that's been going around that where it's like the two different cartoons, and one of them's like a good looking guy, and he's like, "Looking good, Susan." She's like, "Oh, thanks, you're so sweet." And then the next clip is like a big, overweight, ugly looking dude, and he's like, "Looking good, Susan." She's on the phone. "Hello, human resources."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's usually how it goes. So, key here, fellas, is be good looking. That's the first thing. Line your beard. You know, it'll help.
And if you aren't good looking, have money.
Yeah, I mean, I think here's the cold part. I think when you have. If you are good looking, money is important, but
you can
not
get by.
As important as
you can
know,
get by.
Not
trust me.
It. I think I'm going to go ahead and say everybody in this room has a pretty good looking face. So I'm pretty sure they've gotten lots of dates without
a
lot of money.
Not me.
This well, is doing better than I used to.
This is not a good face. This no facial hair.
This one right here,
work.
Young Joe, when you're growing up, yes, that's awesome. Joey, cutest little face in the world, huh? You know, but when he shaves his beard, when he's 30-something, yeah, it's going to look weird.
Dude, Joey already has like a little bit of a little mustache on him. I can see it
Joey's
at some
got
angles.
Work at school. I already know, man. Joey's got so many little girls that are like, hi, they call him Joseph because he's mature.
Yeah, I will make damn sure that does not happen. No girlfriends
until...
Yeah,
we're concentrating on the league, man.
Until after college.
And like I said, as soon as Joe gets drafted, I'm going to be Joey gets drafted. I'm going to be right there next to
you
him.
Like, the uncle.
We did it. We did it, Joey.
We accomplished it.
Arm
yes.
around him, yes. All the hard
I always
work we
believed
put in.
In you.
Yes.
When everybody doubted you.
Yes, it was me. It was me.
I was
ear.
There. gosh. All right. Enough facial hair talk. I just... I need it back, though. I need my facial hair back. I mean, give it a couple more days, well, and then we'll start to creep back
in. Lucky for you,
you're
good looking, and you can go without the facial hair for a little bit, bro.
Well, thank you. Pause. I appreciate it.
Not a problem.
Let's get into some football, shall we? It's that time of year, man. I mean, it's been that time of year for the last 3 months, but it's really getting into crunch time here now. We've got playoff implications all around the league. We have games being played in the NFL. That are clinching games, that are almost clinching games. We had some duds of some games this week leading up to this Saturday with some bangers to end Saturday night. We have some games with playoff implications today. We have bowl games. We have Pop-Tarts being sacrificed, which has turned into one of the best bowl game traditions of all time.
Because can't use the other ones, so got to make some new ones, I guess.
Well, yeah, but I think that at first the Pop-Tart Bowl was somewhat of a joke, and then that giant Pop-Tart gets sacrificed into the giant toaster, and then you get an actual edible Pop-Tart that comes out of it, a giant edible Pop-Tart. It's great.
Oh, I'm on board with anything Pop-Tarts, so...
Now this, you know, we can go into the break with this before we get into some NFL stuff. Favorite Pop-Tart flavor. I want you to think about it.
No need to think.
Oh.
No need to think. It's pretty easy.
Unfrosted cherry.
Boom. No. are we answering now?
No, I want you to think about it.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of good flavors out there. So before you jump on one, I want you to truly think about it. Also leave that up for the Vancouver Ford text line too. Favorite Pop-Tart flavor that is out there. Really, I mean, there are some good ones. There's some OGs. There's some classic. There's some new ones that they've came out with. But we will get to NFL football. And this team, they're going to do it, aren't they? They're going to actually pull it off. We get to that next here. Football Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
Football Sunday with Rashad and Joe. Brought to you by Grillwork Supply Company on Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
Best Pop-Tart flavor. We've got someone in on the YouTube chat. Best Pop-Tart flavor was grape, but they discontinued it. There was a grape flavored.
I don't remember that, but I love grape jelly. So
I want some of that purple delicious stuff.
Mm, that is drink. Homie, that's drink. Yeah.
We've got some purple stuff. Honestly, I don't think I've ventured too much out in some of the newer flavors in the Pop-Tart world. I would say that I'm a big fan of the brown sugar cinnamon. That's a nostalgic one for me. But the cookies and cream, that one is, that's goated. I'm sorry. That's a top Yuck. Five.
Yuck.
What cookies and okay. cream is put your money disgusting. Where your mouth is. What the hell's yours?
Cinnamon sugar sounds like you spent a lot of time with your like grandparents over there. Like,
brown sugar and
brown
cinnamon.
Sugar and cinnamon. Oh,
that's a solid
classic.
One.
It's a classic.
That's an OG flavor right there.
Frosted strawberry is the best Pop-Tart flavor. I mean,
that's boring.
It's supposed to be delicious.
That
man.
Is an OG and, flavor, though.
Yeah, and there's something weird about eating cookies and cream at 8 o'clock in the morning.
I mean, quite frankly, there's a lot of weird things about eating all of these at all 8 of, in the morning. Oh, I mean,
yeah,
I don't
seriously,
think Pop-Tarts
none of them are breakfast foods. Like, Pop-Tarts are some of the sweetest. Now that I'm stupid diabetic and stuff, I have to read, like, the back of, you know, everything I buy.
Hey, Pop-Tarts are good to hit your macros, though, bro.
Yeah,
right?
They are? I mean, yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
If that's, you know, if I have low blood sugar, that's Pop-Tarts are an amazing.
I think you need to have the unfrosted ones. That's what it is.
Blech. I'll just go ahead and eat regular peanut butter and jelly or something.
If you want to get those we're extra cows in the morning,
nah, we're
bro.
Good. Yeah, no, nah, we're good.
I'm looking at some of the other flavors. I mean, blueberry's pretty solid. The wild berry. With the purple and blue
wild
icing.
Wild berries, okay.
S'mores is good stuff.
Which one have I been seeing floating around the GO and Fred Meyer's, the grocery outlet, the Eggo flavored? There's an Eggo flavored Pop-Tart? Yeah. I haven't tried it, but I'm right out on that. Ugh. There's also
I
like
love Eggos, though, but come on, man.
The one that has been enticing that I want to try is the Apple Jacks flavored one. I love
why
a bowl.
Why do you want to taste something that doesn't taste like apples?
Well, I mean, Apple Jacks are great.
That's
already.
That was the commercial. Why are you eating something that doesn't taste like apples? Why do they call it Apple Jacks and doesn't taste like apples? Like, you remember those commercials?
No, I don't remember that at all.
Of course not.
And I'd be like, shut the F up because they're delicious.
Yeah.
That's why. I'm looking at the list. I mean, we could go one by one by each of these. The frosted chocolate chip, where it's just like basically an unfrosted.
Don't want anything chocolate in the morning except for maybe chocolate milk.
No?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm a big chocolate guy in the morning. Yeah, I have no fear. I will put chocolate syrup on my pancake.
That's not
bad. Like it sweet, you know?
Yeah.
There you go.
I'm not a syrup guy.
I know that Joey, my son, his favorite flavor, he loves the frosted cherry. That is his favorite by far.
Gross, Joey.
I hate cherry flavored things. It always takes me back to cherry cough syrup.
Oh, okay.
That's why it's just any cherry flavored thing. I make that connection.
It's pretty
just
disgusting.
Out on it.
I don't know that I had that.
What, cherry cough syrup?
You're lucky enough to be young until to get grape and to get like tropical flavors.
There bubble gum.
Yeah. Oh yeah, come on now. There were good flavors. The other one is
now that I think about it, I think my parents probably just gave that to us to make us suffer and get a good laugh.
They're like, ha ha ha.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, no, you're sick. You got to take the cherry cough syrup.
Watch this. Watch his face. Watch his face.
Seriously.
I'm also one of those guys, even like when I was younger, where I was like, nah, I'm going to tough through this. I'm going to be okay. I'll figure it out. I don't want that. I don't want syrup. I don't want anything to like help me feel better.
Oh, you were just all au natural, huh?
I still am. Yeah. Like it takes.
I'll take some elderberry.
I got to be. No, see, I'm not even. I'm nothing. I had a teacher. I had a teacher, and I can't remember if it was like fourth or fifth grade, but they said like you want to be sick, you want to feel sick for like a couple days before you start taking your medicine, and that helps you actually get healthier faster.
When that viral load is the biggest.
Because anytime I've been sick and I take medicine to stop being sick, I feel like I get sicker. You know, and then all of a sudden, a couple days later, it's like, okay, now I'm starting to feel better.
Now
faster,
I'm okay. But. See, and like that's where I like my brain works that same way, where it's like, no, I need to feel sick for 2 days, and then I can take the Dayquil, then I can take the NyQuil, and I'll tough it out for a little bit. So, because I had a teacher, thank you, Mr. Kramer, in like fourth or fifth grade, hey, don't take medicine right away.
There
I never
go.
Have.
Shout out, Mr. Krames. You know what is going to make me sick? Is if my beloved Broncos and Bo Nix do not make the playoffs. And that's probably going to happen. Because after what happened last night, it's one of those that if the Broncos don't win this game and they don't clinch the playoffs now, it's destiny at this point that the Bengals are somehow going to pull this off. The Broncos just needed a win last night in what was an absolute banger of a football game.
Thank you.
I mean, right? You thought that the Bengals were going to win that game multiple times, and the Broncos came right back. It was 10-3 in the second half because no one was scoring in the first half. Great defensive game to start. Broncos tie it. Bengals go up 17-10. You're like, all right, I don't know if the Broncos are going to be Broncos tie at 17-17. Bengals go up 24-17. What does Bo Nix do on fourth down? Just throw up a prayer to, I believe it was Cortland Sutton that came down with the ball in the end zone, and a very controversial touchdown. It looked like he was maybe still trying to get a little bit of possession on it, but they did call it a touchdown. Tie it, send it to overtime. The Bengals are lining up for like a 30-yard field goal in overtime. Shanks it left, off the upright. The Broncos still have a chance. And what was interesting about that game was even if the Broncos tied, then they would have clinched a playoff spot. And there was a point in overtime where all they needed to do was get a first down, and the Bengals had zero timeouts. And if they would have gotten the first down, they could have just ran out the clock and just kneeled it to a overtime tie. Not an overtime victory, an overtime tie to clinch a playoff spot, which I am very intrigued to see if that would have happened, because I feel like a lot of teams, coaches, players are like, no, let's go out and win this. We want to win. We don't want to tie. We want to win this game. I think if the Broncos were in this situation where it's like, listen, if we just need to kneel this thing out to clinch a playoff spot, I know we have a game next week. Like, and I know we have a chance to, there's still time on the clock. We can still go down and technically win this game. I think they're taking the knee. I think Sean Payton's like, screw this. If we can make the playoffs, let's get out of here with a tie. And let's knock the Bengals out of the playoffs, and let's take the tie.
That's a tough one, because thinking about it, it's like you want the win, right? You want to be definitive in the win.
You're
in a position to where you can't, like, well, you, I think you, you they could have. If they'd have tied, they would have made the playoffs if they won next
week. That was right? One of the scenarios, you know, that if the Broncos tie that game, then the Bengals are eliminated.
There's something about Sean Payton that doesn't say tie to me.
There's something about
I want to go ahead and go for the tie.
There's also something about Sean Payton that he's been doing it long enough where I think he would be like, hey, if this means that we can get into the playoffs and we know our season can get extended by going to the playoffs, by just taking a tie, I'm going to take the damn tie.
You would think that, but I don't know. I don't know what he was kind of thinking in that moment.
That's why
he was saying go for the win, because – If you look at how well the Broncos were playing, especially in the second half, Marvin Mims, number one, let's go ahead and say, like, man, just throw him the damn ball. Wherever he's at, 8 for 8, you know, 3 touchdowns. Yes, throw him the ball as often as possible, you know, because he was doing work for you. You saw, I think yesterday was the first day as a professional, I looked at Bo Nix and said, you got this. No worries, no everything. He's played well at points and everything, but this was the first game I looked at Bo Nix and said, okay, he's got it. He picked it up right there, and now he's officially like an NFL quarterback. They played well. It just, you know, it wasn't enough in the end, like overtime, you know, and they just, you know, the defense couldn't hold up. But overall, like, I'm thinking Sean Payton saw that and said, no, screw that. We're going for the win.
Well,
like, we could tie and everything, but I'm trusting my guys who've been playing some of the best football they've played all year. Yes, let's go for it right now.
Well, and that's what I don't get. Like, don't get me wrong. As an overbetter, I was really appreciative that it went to OT and guaranteed me a win there. But
especially the way that that first half went.
Right. No kidding. I'd chalk that up as an L. But what's weird is, why didn't they just go for two? You scored with 8 seconds left.
Well, Bo Nix wanted to,
right.
Yeah.
You see on the video, Bo Nix is saying go for two. I think in that moment you do it. Like, that's why when, like, fans get upset with Dan Campbell or they get upset with Dan Lanning, two more aggressive coaches, I have no issue with what they're doing because they're consistently doing it. Like, you can't do the Sirianni where, like, one game you're going to be ultra aggressive.
Right.
And then the next game, super conservative, because then the numbers don't make sense. Like, you need to be playing to the law of big numbers. If you're playing to the probability of, hey, the computer says go for it, then freaking go for it. And in that moment, I feel like you just have an incredible touchdown catch. You can win the game right now when you don't really have the momentum, and then you're going to trust your defense to try and stop the best quarterback, at least this year, this single year in football. Like, he's not going to win the MVP. Allen's going to win it, or Lamar Jackson's going to win it. But the best quarterback, and the only reason the Bengals even have 12% of a shot to make the playoffs, is because of Joe Burrow. It's Why true. Would I let him touch the football? He's literally gone 8 games in a row of 250 yards and 3 touchdowns. No one's gone 7 in the history of the NFL. And you're going to put the ball in that guy's hands at some point in OT, more than likely? There's just no way I would do it. You need to go for it at the end of the game there. You just scored a touchdown. And if you don't win, you don't win. But at least you went out on your sword instead of taking the coward's way out and slowly dying that slow death.
Well, and outside of the fumble in the fourth quarter, the middle part of the fourth quarter, this was, I mean, they went touchdown, fumble, touchdown. Then they went to overtime, punt, missed field goal, which got them into Denver territory all the way to the Denver 15, and then the game-winning touchdown. So Denver was not stopping the offense really that much in the fourth quarter and overtime. So, yeah, I think that you're right. When I saw that Bo wanted to go for two, I was right there with him. I was like, let's do this. Let's put it all in put the game in their hands right now. Settle it. Don't go to overtime. Usually I am of the proponent. I'm like, dude, just kick the extra point and try and win this game in overtime. But the way that that was going offensively for Cincinnati, I mean, I'm surprised that they stopped them in their first possession of overtime. But it was one of those where you aren't really holding back the Cincinnati defense anymore. Your defense is getting tired. They keep going after this Riley Moss guy, your second cornerback, and it started to show itself towards the end of the game. So woulda, coulda, shoulda. I just wish we would have gotten to the situation where the Broncos got that first down in overtime to see if they would have just kneeled out the ball and been like, screw it, we're getting out of here with a tie. We're going to the playoffs, eliminating the Bengals. That would have been fantastic to see the look on Bengals fans' face in the stadium if they're like, oh my God, the Broncos, yeah, they're just kneeling it out. They're just going for the tie. They're not even going, oh my God, and just seeing the look of realization on Bengals fans and players' face that their season is over and they're not going to the playoffs.
No, I mean, I don't know. I think you could look at it a lot of different ways. You know, if you're Sean Payton, you were trying to be conservative and just make sure that you know, can get a win in overtime or whatever. I'm not sure why you didn't go for two at that point. I was really looking forward to seeing Bo Nix seal, you know, a playoff win or a potential playoff win for his team.
I would have been sick too.
Like that would have been awesome.
You seal know? The game, you seal your playoff
in your
chances.
In your rookie year, like, I think there were a lot of people that had a lot to say about Bo Nix being a pro quarterback. And, you know, to do that in your first year, especially after struggling a little bit to start, and especially after all the BS the Broncos have been going through for the past, what, like 4 or 5 years, you know, something like that. Like, it would have been great to see the Oregon guy come in and, you know, kind of right the ship for you. So it sucks that didn't happen, you know, but and they do have a chance to make the playoffs next week or no?
Oh yeah, I mean, yeah. The chance is still alive. I mean,
if they win, I think they're in.
Yeah, they just have to win. They just have to beat the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, that's all.
Who will not be paying? Who's not going to play Patrick Mahomes next week?
Is Travis Kelce playing?
I wouldn't be surprised if he was. We will find out once we get closer.
But it
doesn't matter because somehow the Broncos are going to lose. Somehow the Bengals are going to beat the Steelers. Again, with how that game ended up working out for the Bengals, how they've won 4 in a row to get themselves to this point, it's one of those I'm like, dude, it's going to happen. Yeah. Like, I just have that bad feeling.
Well, let's go,
and I hope that my negative energy does not go out into the world and make it happen. And as you said, though, let's go, Bo, though. This is one thing that the Broncos can hang their hat on.
Man.
One thing that Broncos can hang their hat on is that they have their franchise quarterback. That's got to be a good feeling.
Yeah, you got to know. I mean, after a lot of, you know, crap quarterbacks, and even Russell Wilson, who's not a crap quarterback, you know, but
it just did not go well.
It just didn't go well. You know, a lot of that was Sean Payton's fault. But, you know, I digress. But, yeah, good job to the Broncos for at least staging a comeback this year.
So, Broncos, Bengals, still fighting for that last playoff spot. I believe the Dolphins and Colts still have a chance as well. I don't know what the scenarios
they do.
Are. Yeah.
I just had it up. I just took it away. So the Bengals have to win. Broncos have to lose. And then the Colts and Miami, they have to lose one game. So they could either lose this week or they could lose next week. But they have to each lose one for the Bengals to get in.
So we could look at it during the breaks because now I wonder, do the Colts or Dolphins actually have a better chance of making the playoffs yes. versus the Bengals?
Yeah, the Bengals they have a 12% chance. They need three losses, essentially.
Okay, gotcha. Well, a team that does not have to worry about their playoff future, it is the team down in L.A. with another Oregon quarterback. We get to that next. But first, Will Ortner with a SportsCenter update.
Listening to Sports Sunday with Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
This on the Vancouver Ford text line. If we want to root against the Chiefs, we want Joe Burrow in the playoffs. Yes, this is very true. And also, this is if we want to talk about scenarios that teams could find themselves in, do the Chiefs go into next week saying, we don't want to have the chance to run into Joe Burrow and the Bengals? Let's just let the Broncos win. Which in the NFL that never works. There is no tanking. There is no players. There is no coaches telling players, hey, play like 50%.
Yeah,
don't give all your effort out there.
Yeah,
please.
You want to play hard, but not too hard today.
Yeah, because the Chiefs, they play the Broncos next week. If the Broncos win, they're in. The Chiefs, they have their number one seed locked up already with their victory on Christmas Day. So they're not going to play Mahomes. Mahomes has got a banged up ankle. I mean, they're going to probably sit a few starters, is my guess. I don't know about Kelsey if he said or if they've said it or not, but I wouldn't. So we'll see there. The Bengals, they'll play the Steelers, and the Steelers, they need something to go right. They need some confidence going into the playoffs because they have lost three straight games now, all to playoff teams, by double digits, by multiple possessions. So, you know, the Steelers are going to be, even with a playoff berth clinched, I think that they're going to be going to that game against the Bengals full throat, trying to get a win, trying to beat the Bengals, trying to give themselves a better playoff position. But there is one team that was playing football yesterday that, sorry, Rashad, clinched in emphatic fashion. My God.
Say sorry to me. It's, man, shoot.
Dear God.
It's not good.
That is the Los Angeles Chargers winning 40-7 against the New England Patriots. And in the first year of the Jim Harbaugh era, the Chargers are going to the playoffs. The first time since that god-awful performance by the Chargers where they blew a 28 points. Was it?
27?
Yeah.
Against the Jaguars. It was a lot.
It was a lot. Yeah.
It was many points. All the points. But the Chargers are going back to the playoffs, which great for Herbert, great for Harbaugh. I don't know how far they're going to make it. Their defense gives me a lot of faith. Justin Herbert gives me a lot of faith. It's the matter of his weapons. Now, McConkey has come on strong over the last few weeks for this Chargers team, turning into one of the best rookie wide receivers. I just don't know if they're going to have the firepower to keep up with a Bills team, with a Ravens team, with the Chiefs if they end up moving on to the next round and facing them. If you're the Chargers right now, it's like, dude, get us Houston. Get us Pittsburgh, please, for this first round matchup. If the playoffs were to start today, they would be taking on the Ravens in the first round, and I think that is the team that you want to avoid. The Ravens and the Bills. Those are the two teams you do not want to face in the first round because the Ravens, they're starting to play really good football. We saw that on Christmas Day with their 31-2 victory. Good job, Houston, getting your 2 points. But Houston has been a very weird team this year, and they've been playing terrible. Their offense has been terrible. The Steelers, as mentioned just a few moments ago, multiple possessions they're losing to playoff teams. So if you're the Chargers and you want a specific matchup, you're asking for either of those two teams. But props to Herbert, Harbaugh, and the crew because they are playoff bound.
Yeah, and the Chargers don't score a lot of points in games. Like
their offense has been better.
They've been better
at the start of the year, but you're right. I mean,
they're not blowing teams out, right? You know, and I think I mean, they're most teams. I mean, if they play New England every week, then they're going to have an undefeated season.
Again, my God.
If anybody plays New England, they're going to have, you know, a great game. It's one of those things. Like, we all had that high school team that we played against that we knew that.
It was Park Rose for us.
Was it Park Rose?
Oh, yeah.
It was Cleveland for us.
When we saw Park Rose on the schedule, yeah. We're like, okay, that's
a dub. We look and see where the Cleveland game is. Don't let it be homecoming. We're looking to see where Cleveland is. Like, oh, man, that's three touchdowns for you. Three interceptions for you, like it was. We kind of start, you know, putting, and then those things would happen. And so I think the Patriots right now are that team in the NFL to where people look at that and go, "Oh yeah, I'm about to have a crazy game."
I think it was my sophomore year we put up 80 on Park Rose.
Oh, Central Catholic beat us in our playoff game, 60-6.
Jesus,
Michael Harrington, Joey Harrington's brother. Just had a field day with us, and it wasn't even close. Every time I passed the Hillsboro Stadium, I'm like, ugh.
You just have those memories.
No, that wasn't great. But, no, I think the Chargers, they've gotten much better, and I think the one thing they have going for them this year that they haven't had in the past few years is Jim Harbaugh. And we see how Jim Harbaugh can come in a year and change the fortunes of a franchise. He's done it once before with San Francisco. The people thought Alex Smith was washed. And then he got there, and oh, what do you know? He's good. And then took a backup named Kaepernick to the Super Bowl. Like, it's just kind of one of those things, man. He's a quarterback whisperer, and he understands how to get through to these guys. And I always say, if you're going to be a successful team, especially if you have a young quarterback, they need an offensive coach. You can't have a defensive-minded guy like Drake May, you know, who's struggling right now with the Patriots, because you have a defensive-minded person who's the head coach. And sometimes that just doesn't work. Belichick is the exception to the rule, because not only is he a great defensive mind, he's a great offensive mind as well. And he's smart enough to put better offensive minds around him to be able to make things move. You don't need to do that with Jim Harbaugh.
He's great at understanding how to win in the trenches, I think. 100%. And, like, as a former quarterback, he doesn't ask his quarterback to do too much. Like, he understands, he almost has a feel, I think, in the offense that he runs, that he runs it in a way that he doesn't need a Herbert. Like, we know that Justin Herbert is one of the more elite quarterbacks in the NFL. He's probably a top 10 guy, and if he's not top 10, he's 11, right?
Right.
Like, he's right there on the fringe. But what Harbaugh does is he builds an offensive line that is just full of maulers and road graders, and he gets a running back stable, usually two or three, where there's a rotation, and you're going to get, you know, somewhere between 8 to 15 touches, depending on if you're cold that day or you're hot that day. And that's going to allow them to stay healthy throughout the year, longer than most running backs would if you were just going with the pure feature back.
Mm-hmm.
And then defensively, he always seems to go out and get big defensive linemen and get a strong defensive line. Like, this is one of the better years that Bosa and Mac have had together in a while, right?
Yeah,
like,
Mac is having a great year.
It looks like they turned the clock back. And what he understands is, well, if I create a strong defensive line in the trenches, that makes life easier for my secondary, and they can sit back in coverage more, and I don't have to come in as many players into the box. And then offensively, it's, if I can run the football and I only ask my quarterback to throw it 30 times, I don't need him to win me football games. Now, I'm going to get a quarterback that can outright win me a football game, because sometimes things don't go your way. But more often than not, law of big numbers, I can win playing hard-nosed, smash-mouth, grinded-out football where we run the football, we let my offensive lineman just lean on you, lean on you, lean on you, and then I have my quarterback pick opportune moments to take advantage of a defensive secondary in the play-action pass. And he just continues to win with it in college and in the NFL.
Yeah, and hopefully that J.K. Dobbins is healthy for him going into the playoffs, because he's had any year that you can get J.K. Dobbins to play more than 10 games is a great year for J.K. Dobbins at this point. But hopefully he gets healed up a little bit. Gus Edwards obviously having him as a change of pace back, but really having Harbaugh and Greg Roman and the D coordinator, his name is escaping me right now, but I mean, this Chargers team is just all around clicking. Now, again, whether they're going to be able to have the offensive firepower to keep up with a Bills team if they face them, if they're going to be able to keep Lamar and Derrick Henry and that team in check if they end up facing them. Very intrigued to see, you know, if that's the first round that we get. I want to see Justin, Jim, Chargers go as far as possible in the playoffs. So that's why I say I want to see them take on the Texans or the Steelers first round. Granted, you got to go to Pittsburgh if that is the matchup. Possibly, actually, with the playoff matchups, now that I think about it, I mean, you would have Houston would get a home game. Buffalo's going to get a home game. Yeah, because the Chargers, they can't win the conference or their division, so they would be traveling anywhere. But so even if you play Pittsburgh and you have to go to Pittsburgh, that's going to be tough, and don't ever bet against a Mike Tomlin team.
I was about to say, man.
But I just want to see the Chargers move on and go as far as possible, and if you get a playoff win under your belt, if you're Los Angeles, then having the confidence going into a Buffalo, a Baltimore, a Kansas City in the next round, I think that will do wonders for you. And I'm very intrigued to see how that would look for them. I think they'd have a great chance against Baltimore. Going to Buffalo scares me. I feel like when you play in Buffalo, just that team and that fan base just gets up for those moments. It's almost like a Green Bay effect. When you go to Green Bay, Packers are just like 10 points better. And then the Kansas City. I mean, the way that Kansas City has looked this year, I mean, I know that they've got to be one of the favorites to win the Super Bowl. They're obviously the one seed, but can you not see Kansas City just gacking a game in the playoffs and not winning it this year, just the way that they've been playing?
No, I don't think the referees are going to allow that. Honestly, I don't think the league is going to allow. They really want this narrative, and they really want Patrick Mahomes to go 3 in a row, be the first one to do it. It makes sense, you know, but I think that's the script right now. This is what everybody else feels like when my Patriots were running through the league. And now I understand. It's like, oh, okay, that's why y'all were so upset all the time. I get it now. I don't know, man. I feel the only thing about the Chargers that worries me going into the playoffs is they haven't beaten anybody. Like, you look at the wins that they have on their schedule, the Broncos might be the best team that they beat all year. And they just, if I'm being honest, they barely got that, you know. So I don't know what to expect from them. I do want Justin Herbert to go into the playoffs and just be this out of this world good. That would be awesome, you know. But I just kind of feel like this team isn't good enough to even compete with the Pittsburgh, who I think people are really overlooking Pittsburgh because of the whole Russell Wilson, you know,
well, and Justin the fact Fields thing. That they've just looked like trash.
They've been not good. But to be honest, the Chargers haven't had a great month. Let's just be real. Like they're 1-3. It's one of them things where we're rooting for them because of Herbert. But
the Chargers have won their last two games.
But the prior to that, like the record wasn't great, you know, coming in this game. So I don't know. It's still a lot of question marks, but I guess we'll find out.
Chargers are in. We still have one more AFC spot to be taken. The NFC is still up for grabs as well. The Rams, they got some help thanks to Trey McBride's dome last night. Kyler Murray just throwing a million mile per hour fastball at Trey McBride, which ended up in an interception, and the Rams come out with a win. The Seahawks got a win in a just classic, vaunted back-and-forth
matchup. It's one of the best games I've seen.
My God. That was just, I mean, I was locked in the entire time. Noah was not playing Bejeweled.
It's not boring.
Noah was not playing Bejeweled on my phone the majority of that game. Absolutely not. So we have things still to be decided today as far as number one seeds, playoff berths, division berths. And then it will all come down to next week as far as who's going to win that final AFC wildcard spot, who's going to clinch the NFC West, who's going to clinch the NFC South, which could happen today as well if the Falcons win, Michael Penix, and if the Bucks lose. But let's try and get some dubs ourselves. Let's try and get some wins on the betting board. It is Who Do You Love coming up next year, Football Sunday, 10 of the Fan.
Who do you love? Rashad and Joe share their predictions and look back at last week to see if they still love their picks. It's time for Who Do You Love? Part of Sports Sunday on 1080 The Fan.
All right, time for Who Do You Love? I am going through last week's games and marking the green ones, marking the red ones. I did have a 1-2 week last week, so
good.
It was a chance for you guys to gain some ground. Unfortunately, Rashad, you also went 1-2.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm trying to find
this
out.
This has not been a great season. Fantasy-wise, everything has not... It's been trash. It's been crap.
Fantasy not go well for you this year?
Oh, no. Fantasy was by far the worst it's been ever.
Not even a playoff berth?
Oh, heavens no. Heavens no.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Awful. So looking at last week, your boy got Eagles Commanders over, right? 46.5. The Buccaneers losing on Monday night to the Cowboys. I mean, not obviously not covering, but just getting absolutely dominated. Who saw that coming? I mean, Baker Mayfield was running for his life the entire game.
Man.
Dude, that was... as a Cowboys fan, very upset. Thing. I mean, you just keep winning games and helping your or worsening your draft stock. So I don't know what the hell's happening there.
Oh, man. I don't know. They're auditioning a new quarterback, it looks like.
And but, this is potentially my worst pick of the year. The Giants covering 9.5 against the Falcons, and then Drew Lock throwing 2 pick sixes to making sure that does not happen at all. Appreciate that.
Drew Lock.
Thank you. Very happy that you did that. Your Lions -7 against the Bears, definitely covered.
Yeah.
Your Patriots, though, putting up against a fight against the Bills, not letting the Bills cover that 14.
Yeah, I mean, they gotta swing at some point, right? Way to go, Pats.
And then the Seahawks, for the second straight week, you went Seahawks money line in the second straight week. It did not hit.
Never again. Seattle, this is why I hate you. Never again. Not doing that ever again.
Jordan took the Jags +2.5. That was the game. That was that Jags Raiders game where I was like, dude, I would stay away from that. There is no winners in that. I don't know why you would do that. That was the only one that did not hit. He did take Eagles Commanders on the over, and then he went player prop Kyren Williams over 82.5 rushing yards, and that hit. So he goes 2-1. And he is at 14-20-2. Rashad, you are 14-18-1. I am 20-15-1. Will Ortner, Big Will Betts, will play the role of Jordan Schultz today. So giving him a chance to gain some ground. And I am getting the Betts pulled up right now. There's a part of me that wants to take the Cowboys to cover against the Eagles -7.5 because the Eagles will have Kenny Pickett out there, Kenny Two Gloves playing. So there's definitely part of me that wants to go there. But I am a sicko, and I am going to go with the Raiders Saints under 37.5. Those are two god-awful teams. Those are two teams that are allergic to scoring points, allergic to offense. And, yeah, because I'm a sick bastard and I don't like points and I want to see something funny happen, I'm going to go Raiders Saints under 37.5.
I'm going to go with the Buffalo Jets game. I think the Jets are the over-under is 44.5.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking the under. I don't expect the Jets to score very many points. I do expect Buffalo to get at least, 30 on the board, somewhere around there, maybe even 35. But I don't really expect any more than a touchdown from this Jets team.
Yeah, I've got the Vikings -1.5 against the Packers. I believe this is even now switched over to where the Packers are favored. I got this in on Monday. I just think that the Vikings are in a better spot than Green Bay. I think that Flores and that defense can dial up some pressures that confuse Jordan Love, and they're going to be able to get after Jordan Love. If they can stop Jordan Love's ability to elongate a play, turn it into backyard football where he's running out of the pocket, get that pressure on him, but get him in a contained rush, I think that the Vikings are going to be able to win this football game, and I think it's going to set up for a big-time matchup in Week 18 when they take on the Lions.
So I just want to confirm, I am seeing the Packers favored, so Vikings yep. +1.5.
Yeah, so it switched. I grabbed them on Monday. So when I put my bets in, I always give out the bets that I grabbed on Monday. I grabbed them on Monday when the Vikings were favored. So maybe not my best bet ever. But.
Gotcha. All right. Well, I'll because this is Sunday, I will give you the Vikings +1.5.
I'll take it.
I am going to the Dolphins and the Browns. By the way, the total on this game, 32.5 between the Dolphins and the Browns. But I'm going to go with Dolphins covering -3 because the Browns might not score more than 10 points, if at all. The DTR looked absolutely atrocious against the Bengals. That offense looked atrocious. And Miami's still with a shot at the playoffs. They need to win this game. I know it is in Cleveland, so you're going to the dog pound. But I say the Dolphins offense, they click, they get it going. And even if not, it's not like they need to score a lot of points to beat this Cleveland Browns team, but I say they do cover the -3.
I'm taking the Monday night game. That's Lions visiting the 49ers. Lions are 3.5-point favorites. The over-under is 50.5. I think I'm taking the over on that. Only because
A lot of confidence in you saying that.
No, actually, yeah, I know. I'm just gonna I'm gonna do it just because San Francisco doesn't score a lot of points, but the Lions do, and so I do feel like if they're gonna get their usual 35 points, if San Francisco can score 17, then looks like I'm in the mix. So I think that's kind of what's gonna happen. I think it's gonna be a blowout, but I do think it's gonna be a lot of points scored by the Lions.
Did you say over or under for over. For the Bills Jets? Sorry.
Oh,
that was 44.5.
I said under.
I believe you said
under. I think I said under, yeah.
Under 44.5. Yep. All right.
I'm sticking with the same game. I've got the Lions -3.5. The whole reason behind that is Dan Campbell said that they're not going to sit anyone. They're not going to rest anyone. And when he says that, I tend to believe him. I don't think that they have the ability in, like, their fortitude, in their culture, to take a
not
game
yet.
Off. That's not what they do.
No.
That's never been what Dan Campbell has been about. I think that they're going to go up against a San Francisco team that is kind of dead in the water. And right now you're seeing like a crumbling of what was once a pretty good dynasty, or at least a team that was consistently going to be in the NFC playoffs. It seems like that is crumbling at the seams now, and they're probably going to have to reload. Maybe not entirely reset, but definitely reload. And I just think that the Lions kind of put that final nail in the coffin. There's no Undertaker meme where the 49ers pop up and they get a victory here. I think that the Lions blow them out.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to be a sicko. I'm going to go Cowboys covering +7.5 against the Eagles. I think the Eagles do end up winning it and clinching the division. But, again, with the Eagles having to play Kenny Pickett for all of four quarters. Now, granted, I know that the Cowboys have to play Cooper Rush again for all of four quarters, but Cooper Rush hasn't been terrible. And this Cowboys defense, since Micah Parsons came back, has been absolutely phenomenal. I think that even though the Cowboys technically have nothing to play for, that's kind of been the case for them the last couple weeks, and they've been showing out. And I think they want to go into Philadelphia and still give their best effort. Also, when you saw Kenny Pickett go in for the Eagles last week, yes, he threw a touchdown pass, but I'm pretty sure when he went into the game, they were already in the red zone at that point. And then Saquon Barkley ripped off a big touchdown run. Outside of that, that offense did nothing. The Commanders were able to come back in that game, win despite turning the ball over five times. I have no confidence in the Eagles offense with Kenny Pickett having to play four quarters. And again, the way the Cowboys defense has been looking over the last couple weeks has given me confidence that they will cover the 7.5 against the Eagles.
I'm going Raiders visiting the New Orleans Saints. This is going to be a pretty bad game.
Oh, I know. That's why I took the under.
So check this. So the Raiders haven't scored at least 20 since week 9. The Saints haven't scored at least 20 since week 11. So the over-under on this one is 37.5. I'm definitely taking the under. I don't expect either team to do much offensively.
My last pick, I've got the Commanders -4 against the Falcons. The whole reasoning here is this Atlanta team was fine when Penix came in. Like, I thought Penix played well, but
it was the defense.
Didn't play great. The defense, they don't feel like a team rising, right? It almost feels like they made the move to Penix because, well, what's the worst case scenario? We stay outside of the playoffs. If we make it in the playoffs, they're not really, they don't seem like a team that's going to win. Where like the Commanders, they know they need to win, right? They need to win, and they need to lean on Jaden Daniels. I think Jaden Daniels goes out. He has another big-time performance. They win this football game, and I think they end up covering.
All right. That's who you love. I got Raiders Saints under 37.5, as does Rashad. I got the Dolphins covering against the Browns minus three. Cowboys covering plus 7.5. Rashad's got he's going all over over unders today. Bills Jets under 44.5. Lions 49ers over 50.5. And then Will, in substitute for Jordan, will be taking the Vikings plus 1.5, the Lions minus 3.5, and the Commanders minus 4. That is Who Do You Love? We will start hour number two. Hopefully have Red Zone on the TV or your football game of choice, but you keep us on the radio dial. Let the draft debate begin. Who are you going to take with the number one overall pick? Got some other bowl game stuff to get to, and the playoffs are just a few days away. At least the quarterfinals and the Ducks, Ohio State, and the other three matchups are right around the corner. We get to all that. Hour number two, college football packed right here, Football Sunday, 1080 The Fan.